And the grades were high. I mean, a lot higher than we expected them to be. So that prompted us to start looking into the actual mining records. And we discovered that their cutoffs, if you can believe this, back in 1900, when it was a big, substantial mining community up there, their cutoffs were 8% copper. So, in other words, the ore they're pulling out of Mount Sicker, if it wasn't 8% or better, they were casting it aside onto these waste piles. Hard to believe in modern times that they would do that with 8% copper. And then the stuff that was 8% or better was actually being transported down the mountain and onto the Tacoma smelter. So all of a sudden, the penny kind of dropped for us, and we started thinking, okay, we've got massive piles of waste here that actually may have substantial value. And we realized, so it's been 120 years since this operation has stopped, and yet this wasteland remains. Nothing grows there. So you've got contaminants and acid leaching off of these high sulfide waste piles that actually have lots of value. So that's when we put it all together and thought, okay, there's a real opportunity here. We can extract this high-grade material, separate the sulfides out, and restore the mountain to what it was kind of pre-1895 when the miners arrived. Once we know that the economics are the where we want them, it is simple Simon from there. We are taking stuff piled at surface, crushing it, sorting it, we're putting back the benign rock so that the environment is protected, and then we're taking this high-grade material and we're selling it at port. It doesn't get a lot simpler than that in the mining world.
Good day, everybody. It's me, just Steve Yang here with Natural Resource Stocks. Again, mining for stories that matter. And I have with me today Peter Smith, CEO of Sasquatch Resources. Peter, how are you, my friend?
I'm great. Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm thrilled to be here.
Absolutely. Before we start, Peter, if you can tell us about Sasquatch Resources website, your ticker, where you're trading.
Yeah, we're SASQ is the ticker. We're on the Canadian Stock Exchange, CSE. If you go to sasquatchresources.com, pretty comprehensive website, a good summary of everything that's there. And by the way, we just put out a news release last Sunday, essentially a co corporate update, which kind of brings anyone who's really interested up to speed with everything we've done over the last couple of years.
Peter, I don't know too much about Sasquatch Resources, except I think it's fascinating. If you can tell us a little bit about your story and what it's all about.
Sure, yeah. So when we first started this company, going back 3 4 years, we were focused on an old legacy mine site at a place called Mount Sicker, which is just about 10 minutes outside of Duncan on Vancouver Island. And like a lot of junior mining companies that are looking at legacy mine sites, we were initially interested in prospects for reopening the mine. You got historical resources, and if you look at old mining records, you can tell if there's a bunch of ore left in the mountain. So we were doing that. However, as we're going up there every day and taking samples and gathering our data, there are these massive waste piles that are hard to miss from the old mining activity. And we were sampling those as well, as just kind of a peripheral interest. And the grades were high. I mean, a lot higher than we expected them to be. So that prompted us to start looking into the actual mining records. And we discovered that their cutoffs, if you can believe this, back in 1900, when it was a big, substantial mining community up there, their cutoffs were 8% copper. So, in other words, the ore they're pulling out of Mount Sicker, if it wasn't 8% or better, they were casting it aside onto these waste piles. Hard to believe in modern times that they would do that with 8% copper. And then the stuff that was 8% or better was actually being transported down the mountain and onto the Tacoma smelter. So all of a sudden, the penny kind of dropped for us, and we started thinking, okay, we've got massive piles of waste here that actually may have substantial value. And then the real kicker for us was, when we realized that these waste piles were doing ongoing environmental damage. It's a pristine environment up there, Vancouver Island. It's beautiful, it's very green. And then you get to the Mount Sicker Legacy Mine site, and there's 5 football fields or so of wasteland. I mean, Mad Max style wasteland. And it's quite striking to see it kind of firsthand. And we realized, so it's been 120 years since this operation has stopped. And yet this wasteland remains. Nothing grows there. So you've got contaminants and acid leaching off of these high sulfide waste piles that actually have lots of value. So that's when we put it all together and thought, okay, there's a real opportunity here. We can extract this high-grade material, separate the sulfides out, and restore the mountain to what it was kind of pre-1895 when the miners arrived.
So Peter, you guys aren't the traditional exploration story. You're going after historic waste rock, and I'd love to get your first of all, if you can tell us where your project pipeline sites are and how do you go about, deciding electing which sites to acquire? What's the most important indicators that you're looking for?
Great question. So we started getting excited about Mount Sicker and immediately started looking for pipeline because we thought, okay, there's real potential economics here. But one thing about cleaning up waste, it's good and bad. It's extremely easy. It goes fast when we start going through this material and sorting out the sulfides from the non-sulfides. It's a big pile, but we're going to get through it in a year. So of course, immediately you're thinking, okay, what's next? The good news is there's some 2,000 legacy mine sites estimated in BC alone,
Wow.
hundreds on Vancouver Island. And so when I say legacy mine site, I'm talking about a site that's about 100 years old that had substantial mining activity in a time when there were no reclamation regulations. So back then, they would finish mining, and then when they were done, due to macroeconomic factors or whatever, they just kind of dropped their shovels and left. And so they left behind hazards like big open mine shafts, but also big, big piles of acid-generating waste. And so we didn't have to go far to find our next project. We looked up the road. There's another mine called the Blue Grouse Mine. Similar situation. It was in business 100 years ago. They stopped mining, dropped their shovels, and left. And there's big open mine shafts, and there's piles and piles of waste rock. And again, I just want to highlight this waste rock. This is why we're not the traditional mining operation. All of the stuff that we're interested in processing and removing is on the side of the road in piles at surface. So we're not doing any new mining per se. We're really just ore sorting and trucking at the end of the day. And the kicker is, and the thing we love about these legacy mine site projects is we're leaving these sites in a better state than we found them. That or at least that's the idea. So we're going to make a real difference at Mount Sicker in my lifetime. In fact, in the next couple of years, and that's not something you normally see with a mining project. You're looking at a 20-year mine life with a reclamation plan at the end. We're not adding new mining infrastructure. We're just crushing and ore sorting and then reclaiming.
So with, I imagine, infrastructure, the roads all being all there, having been previous sites and all, and you're saying everything's up in surface. Can you tell me about the margins that you're getting and, how profitable is this really?
Yeah, so I can't talk about numbers, of course, without a PEA, and I don't want to anger any regulators out there, nor do I want to speculate too much, of course. But I can tell you that our margins look like they're going to be great, and it's for the simple reason that we don't have to spend much money to do what we're planning on doing. The process that we're using, it's a closed loop mobile process. Essentially, we are crushing the waste down to a half inch or less, and in this case, the sulfides very easily peel away from the rock, so it's a highly effective process. We did some testing, by the way. We did a half ton, which we ran through the ore sorter, and we actually found that 95% of the sulfides were successfully removed from the rock. So it is highly effective, but again, not expensive. Crushing and sorting, it's at a fairly fast rate of speed. We'll get through 300,000 tons at Mount Sicker in less than a year, as I mentioned earlier. And then the big cost from there really is just trucking to port. So in the short term, we've been looking at projects that are close to port where we know we can get them down to the water and sold. We're also looking at projects where we know we're going to have good grades. So legacy mine sites that are 100 years old plus when the technology was not anywhere near what it is today. Having said that, and we've been looking at low-hanging fruit, there's going to be a lot of legacy mine sites that are going to turn out to be economic. And so we're also anxious once we get rolling to start looking at really expanding the pipeline. We've got four projects within our pipeline right now, but we think that's going to expand very quickly.
So you guys are in British Columbia there. My understanding is you guys have the First Nations group there. And if you can tell me about your relationship there, what's that like to navigate, and what kind of help are you getting from those people?
They've been great, actually. We actually have two different First Nations groups that overlap in their traditional claims on Mount Sicker. So we have been dealing with everybody, so to speak. We've done presentations to First Nations elders. We've actually done site tours, three site tours to date with different First Nations groups and representatives. And again, the pitch is not a hard one for us. So we're showing them piles of waste that are environmentally hazardous, and we're saying, hey, we'd like to clean this up. Having said that, they have good questions, and I think we're certainly going to be held to task on the reclamation part. But so far, relationship has been good, and I think that First Nations and the community, by the way, North Gowichan and Duncan, is also very supportive of this. We presented to North Cowichan City Council a while ago, and they unanimously agreed to support our project, subject really only to First Nations ongoing support.
Great. So do you guys have permits, and what kind of permits do you guys have in place, and what's the timeline on those?
So this is a really interesting part of legacy mine site reclamation. It's new. And so when it comes to permitting, there is no specific permitting path for us that's been identified. On the one hand, you've got like a full-blown mining permit, which is a big endeavor, which takes years and costs lots of money. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you've got drill permits and bulk sampling permits, which are pretty straightforward. And we're kind of in the middle in a way, in that we're not doing any new mining at all up there. But the volumes that we're dealing with go far beyond what you would see in a bulk sampling permit, for example. So we've been working with the permitters on a path, essentially trailblazing a little bit. But really, one thing we have noticed, and they've been great, the permitters recognize that there's a need for this. Legacy mine site reclamation is an ongoing liability for the province, and I think they're quite aware of that, and so they would love to see action on that front. And at the end of the day, we're adding critical minerals to the supply chain without new infrastructure. I mean, that's as good as it gets on that front. So we've been working with them, and they've been good, but we've been feeling our way through this process. And of course, they want to protect the province and make sure that not any old yahoo is going to go up the mountain and try and start processing waste rock. There's got to be some protections, built in to the process.
So, are there comps throughout the country, elsewhere, that maybe have done this before? And what kind of opposition or roadblocks have they found with permitting and all that stuff?
It's an interesting time. Ontario just passed some legislation allowing for a pretty kind of streamlined permitting path for reclamation activities. In that case, seems to be a focus on tailings and not waste rock. But certainly, we're starting to see kind of the right steps taken by way of government support. There's other companies that have done this on a smaller scale, just processing waste rock and driving it to the nearest mill and trying to get paid for it. I think we're the first to really do it on this scale, and also to link it to the reclamation side. So we're doing more of a complete running and reclaiming than you've seen in the past. We're taking the entire site of Mount Sicker, running all the waste, and our permit in this case is specifically linked to reclamation obligations by us up there.
Gotcha. Let's shift gears a bit. Let's go to your balance and runway. I mean, how much do you have in the, how does your balance sheet look and how far does it take you?
We've got 700,000 or so in the bank, which doesn't sound like a lot for a mining company, but
Is that Canadian?
yes, Canadian. And I'll mention it's a lot for us. We run a pretty lean here and have done so for the past 3 years. We think that we have more than enough to get us hopefully to a positive permitting result. And once we get there, once we have our permit in hand, again, like the infrastructure that we need to go out and acquire to start executing is not costly. It's in the hundreds of thousands, not the millions. So we're in pretty good shape financially. We're not in need of financing anytime soon. That may happen once the permit's in place, and it may not. We could also go the debt route, for example. There's other avenues we might take, but yeah, right now, financially, we're in great shape. And again, I'll just highlight, nothing that we're doing is particularly expensive.
Peter, can you walk me through your share structure, including options and warrants?
Just under 45 million shares outstanding. I think just under another 20 million in warrants and options. I'll just highlight that's a very large portion of that is tightly held. I'm a 10% holder. Tom Lamb, who's a law school friend of mine, he and I started Myriad Uranium together, incidentally. He's a 10% holder. We've got six or seven guys that are all similar in that category. So a small group holding probably half of the outstanding shares. And each time we do a financing, we are participating. I did 50,000 in the last one, 100,000 in the one before. I am definitely maintaining my 10% interest. So we're in good shape structure-wise. And again, what I'd love to do is actually issue no more shares and get to a point where we're in operations. But time will tell.
What's your strike price written at?
I think we were trading at 17 and a half cents today. A lot of the options are in the 10-cent range, and some of the warrants are there too. There's also a chunk of option warrants in the 7.5 cent range from a financing we did about a year ago. But again, the vast majority of those are held by the insiders who have been kind of participating along the way.
And you're active on the open market yourselves?
Tom Lamb has been buying, and I haven't been buying in the open market because I'm constantly holding inside information, unfortunately, as the CEO. But but I've my plan is just to stay at that 10% level and not get into a new threshold. Having said that, we absolutely believe in this project, and not just Mount Sicker, which is a wonderful kind of test case for this legacy mine site reclamation strategy, but the world is massive once the first domino falls, I think, when it comes to processing waste rock. I think that there's such potential out there for this, and the added benefit that it's good for the environment and I think good for mining.
Peter, it sounds like just first of all, you got a lot of you're doing a lot of good. I guess a question I have regards to the wasteland and hazard is the safety of it. Is that a concern, and what are you guys doing about that?
Sure. So, just by way of example, I'll talk about Mount Sicker again. There's at least three we found. Fortunately, not the hard way. We found them just kind of looking around the area and being familiar with the area. But there's three 200-foot deep open mine shafts. Unbelievable. And this area is a recreational area. People from Duncan are up there mountain biking and bombing around on their dirt bikes and mountain bikes. So
Oh.
there's some genuine life-threatening physical hazards up there. For now, we've marked them as best we can with tape and warning, etc. But this is a part of what we want to do up there. As a part of our reclamation plan, we're going to identify some of these hazards and either cap them or fence them off and just to ensure that we don't have some accidental mountain biker taking a 200-foot nosedive.
Peter, two questions. One, if you can tell us about your team and kind of the pieces you have in place to navigate a project like this. And two, if you can tell me how replicable this is and what's the plan in terms of growth.
Sure. So Thomas Lamb is on the board, and he and I went to law school together and started Myriad Uranium together. So I mentioned that. Justin DeVoe is our man on the ground, and he's got amazing knowledge of Mount Sicker and Vancouver Island. This is essentially a lifetime prospector, very essential to the team and a wonderful source of knowledge. Also of note, recently, Andy Holloway has joined the board, and so this is an advanced engineer slash metallurgist who has worked with the likes of Glencore and Ocean Partners in the past. I'll mention that he's a big believer in this project and is going to be invaluable to us because ultimately he's the one who can help us find these end buyers and also create the concentrate that the end buyers want and will pay kind of max dollar for. Gillian Doucette has also joined the board. She founded a company in Vancouver Island called Synergy. Very much comes from the environmental side of things and told me flat out, she said, I would never join a mining team, but I will join this mining team because of the environmental slash reclamation component that we're addressing. So yeah, that's a little bit about the team and as far as being able to repeat this model all day long. So and again, we didn't have to look very far. 30 kilometers down the road, we found blue grouse. Another 100 k or so is Santana. Our newest claims, which we call the Alberni claims. Again, we found an area where there could be as much of as a million tons of waste that's been created by building logging roads right through a zone of high mineralization. So all of these opportunities are being evaluated, but again, once we know that the economics are the where we want them, it is simple Simon from there. We are taking stuff piled at surface, crushing it, sorting it, we're putting back the benign rock so that the environment is protected. And then we're taking this high-grade material and we're selling it at port. It doesn't get a lot simpler than that in the mining world.
Peter, thanks for your time on introducing me to Sasquatch Resources. For our listeners, I myself am not currently an investor, although that may change. I am not giving investment advice, but I ask you to do your own research. And one of the ways you can do that is to reach out to Peter, do your own due diligence, check out his website. Peter, if you can give us your ticker and your where you're trading one more time, as well as your website, so people can reach out to you if they have any questions.
Yeah, sure. SASQ, we trade on the CSE and go to sasquatchresources.com for probably way too much information about all this. And please feel free to reach out directly to me anytime. I love answering emails from shareholders or even just interested parties.
And just one more thing, Peter has not paid for this interview. Again, I'm just reaching out because Sasquatch is a fascinating thing. So, Peter, thank you for this time
Thank you,
and
Steve.
enjoyed it.
Really appreciate you having me on.